I am excited this morning to start a brand new series with you. How many of you enjoyed Shonda last week, by the way? We had our special guest, Shonda Crutcher, and did a fantastic job. This week, we're diving in and starting a new series called Unlocking the Kingdom of God. It's been a long time since I've done a teaching on the Kingdom of God. In fact, in the past, I've only done just a couple of messages, but I want to really do a deep dive into the Kingdom of God. I think it's a really, really important topic for us to understand. I'm going to ask you to really lean in, pay close attention, take good notes. If you're a life group leader, by the way, you should be taking good notes, right, so that you can help aid in the discussion. How many of you are in a life group, by the way? If you're not, we need you to jump in. Check out the board back there. Check out the sheet. It's not too late to jump in and be a part of a life group. We've got to understand the kingdom of God. We need to understand it more than I think most of us do, because when we do, it'll rock our world, and honestly, it'll connect some dots for you that maybe you haven't understood in regard to the gospel, to the kingdom. And I want us to live in a confidence and an expectancy in the supernatural. And that's what living in the midst of the kingdom will do for us. So this morning I want to answer three questions, and this will be kind of our introductory session where we kind of get us primed and prepped for really diving deep into the many facets of the kingdom of God. So today I want to answer three questions. First of all, what is the kingdom of God? Secondly, why should the kingdom of God be a priority to us? And third, how do we seize the kingdom? Three important questions. There's trouble and division that happens when we only understand one aspect of the kingdom of God. Oftentimes when you hear the term kingdom of God, there's an isolated viewpoint. There's some teaching that only covers one aspect. For instance, there's a term in Scripture that's synonymous, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute, but if you only think of the kingdom of God as the kingdom of heaven, as something that is yet to come, that one day you'll inherit, one day you'll be in heaven, then if you focus only on that, you're going to miss out on the blessings and the opportunities that God has for you in the here and now. Because there's much more to the kingdom of God than just one isolated aspect, and that's what oftentimes happens. The priority of the kingdom, why should that be a priority? Because let me just tell you this, when you begin to see in Scripture how often this is a theme of Jesus himself, and here's what I kind of think, and maybe it's simplistic, but I think if Jesus talks a lot about something, I probably ought to be listening really closely. How many of you agree with me? If it's something that's big on the Lord's heart, probably it should be big on my heart too. If he makes an emphasis of it, I probably need to sit up, listen closely, and make an emphasis of it in my own life. And I'm going to tell you, he talked about the kingdom probably more than almost anything else, and we should pay attention to it. And then what about seizing the kingdom? We're not there yet. We'll build the case for seizing the kingdom, but let me just tell you, it's the necessary attitude that you and I are going to have to adopt if we're going to live in the blessings of the kingdom. So this morning, what is the kingdom? There's three components, and I want to show you from Scripture. And it's important that you understand all three of these. Again, there's several terms used, and there are different facets of understanding about the kingdom. You've got to understand all three. The first one is simply this. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God, his sovereignty and dominion over all. Okay, so this is, in a general sense, the kingdom of God. Psalm 103:19 would point to this. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. What's the kingdom of God rule over? All over all. Absolutely. Absolutely. Over this age, over the age to come, over demons, over angels, over men, over heaven, over hell, over earth, you name it, the kingdom of God rules and reigns and has sovereignty over all. So look at another scripture, Psalm 145, important scripture. speaking about this kingdom. It says this, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts in the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting, what? Kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. So here he's talking about the glory of the kingdom of God, the power of the kingdom of God, the majesty of the kingdom of God, the mighty acts that are associated with the kingdom of God, the everlasting nature, the fact that the kingdom of God is for all generations, that God rules and reigns forever, and that that will never change. So this is the first aspect of the kingdom of God, okay? Take notes, follow along. You need to get this so that you can track with me throughout the rest of this series of messages. The kingdom of God is a future realm. This number two is a future realm where the fullness of kingdom glory happens. This kingdom of God reference commonly is referred to as what? As heaven. The kingdom of heaven is often a term used in Scripture. The kingdom of heaven is synonymous with the kingdom of God. There's a prophetic passage found in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, and then in Isaiah 11, verses 4 through 9, that describes what this kingdom of heaven will look like. There's lots of other places in Scripture too, where it kind of outlines and helps us understand a bit about heaven. But here's what I want you to do as we read this passage. I want you to take note of the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven, so that when you are praying, and you're praying the very way Jesus taught his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven, you know exactly what it is you're praying for. You know exactly what it is that you are beseeching God, you are crying out to God to bring into reality, full reality here on this earth. So check this out, some really cool and beautiful passages here in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 2, it says, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. How many of you will be happy when that day comes? Amen. Especially in the light of what's happening right now. So much confusion and hurt. And it's just unbelievable what's happening there in Russia and Ukraine. Then let's continue on. Chapter 11 from the book of Isaiah. It says this. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords. But with righteousness, I'm picking back up there. But with righteousness, he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Now, check out these descriptors. Check out these pictures that the Lord is giving us. Some pretty cool pictures here. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall grow child, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Aren't those some pretty incredible pictures? Peace is going to rule, righteousness, there will be no more wickedness, there will be faithfulness, total harmony, even the pictures of the animals lying down together. Here's one that we, for some odd reason, kind of a little bit strange, but we often talk about the lion laying down with the lamb. It's not exactly what Scripture says, but it's in there, right? The wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion. So here's that picture, and maybe you've heard that reference before, the lion will lay down with the lamb. In other words, there's those that would have been natural enemies, those that would have fought one another, even devoured one another. No longer, there will be peace, there will be safety, no pain, no destruction. It's an expression of what the future kingdom of God will look like. Now, it doesn't end there. Let's continue on. Revelation chapter 21 says this about the kingdom of heaven. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away," I love this, "every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Should be no more pain." How many of you are looking forward to those kind of days? "For the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." God will be nearer than ever. We'll live literally in his presence. Our tears will be wiped away. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. All those things gone. Gone completely from the picture. All things are new. He says that we've been called to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I love how he states it there, an inheritance. It's something you and I are gaining. It's something that is waiting for us. It's incorruptible. That means there's no decay. There's no withering away. It doesn't lose its goodness. It never becomes defiled. It's totally undefiled. There's no sin. And then he goes on to say, and it won't fade. If that sounds too good, it won't fade. It's not just for a moment. It's ever everlasting. In a million years, when you are there in the presence of God, nothing that you have done in those million years will seem old or routine or rote to you. You will not tire of them. You will not begin to have the attitude, "Well, this is getting old to me, and I'm not sure I want to go to worship again today." No, it's going to be unfading. It's going to be awesome beyond description, beyond what you and I can even understand. There's never a sense of disappointment there. You into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Due to all that this future realm of God is, our entrance into it is called abundant. I like that. It's kind of mind-boggling, folks. It's just incredible. It's beyond earthly comprehension, quite honestly. You and I are coming into an abundant entrance into God's everlasting kingdom. It's so important that we understand the glory of the future kingdom if we're going to pray with expectancy and excitement and understanding for things here. You see how that is related when you and I are crying out, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done here on this earth, just as it is in heaven." It's so helpful for us to have a picture and an understanding of what it looks like in that kingdom that we're going to fully inherit one day. Lord, bring your peace. Lord, bring your goodness. Lord, bring your glory. Lord, bring reconciliation. Lord, bring an end to the wars. Lord, bring an end to the violence. Lord, bring it and bring it now. And this leads us to our third point. And this is the one where we'll be spending most of our time in the future weeks. And the thing that I really want you to understand. The kingdom of God is the realm of God that we enter right now through our new birth in order to experience the blessing of God's reign. Did you know you entered a new kingdom the day that you received Christ into your heart? You were literally transferred from one kingdom to another. You went from darkness to light in a moment. Only God can do that, but you were literally transferred from one kingdom into the kingdom of God. When we're born again, we get to see and we get to experience the kingdom of God. You've been moved from darkness and blindness into light and sight. You've been moved from one kingdom to another, and let me just tell you, the trade you made was from a kingdom where there was defeat and despair and hopelessness, and now you've got a glorious kingdom that is better than anything you can even imagine. And being born again is the access into this new kingdom reality. Look at it with me. Jesus says it so clear in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." How do you enter into the kingdom of God? By being born again. By giving your life to Christ. By committing your life to him right now, in the here and the now. Now let me just describe this kingdom and kind of give you a little bit of fleshing out of what this means for us. God's kingdom, this kingdom we're talking about, the one that we're entering into right now, is not to be viewed so much as a domain, but really rather as a dominion. It's the choice that I'm no longer going to live for my own interests, my own selfish desires, my own will. I'm now living under the lordship and the leadership of Jesus, and I want to obey and please him with all of my heart. God's kingdom is not so much a realm as it is a righteous reality. God's kingdom is not so much an outward territory when you might think about a castle and a piece of land, but rather it's an inward transfer and transformation that has happened inside you and I. God's kingdom is a divine, dynamic power and authority that has been released in your life to defeat hell and to deliver you from the fallenness of humanity. So that you live in a new reality. You live with new expectations. You live with a new power and a new purpose. It's right here and it's right now. Now we have to understand this. It's not in its fullness. This is one of the mistakes that sometimes is made about the kingdom of God, is that it's fully here right now. No, it's not fully here. You and I experience tastes and glimpses and evidences of this kingdom breaking into the kingdom of this earth. One great theologian put it this way: it's the now and the not yet. Jesus introduced the kingdom. Jesus came to take back that which had been lost through sin to the devil. The Bible describes the devil as the god of this world. Jesus has invaded with the kingdom, and the kingdom is coming more and more and more as you and I line up under the king's will and live out the king's purposes in this world. Every day, you and I get an opportunity to advance God's kingdom in this earth. How do you do that? By prayer? Through obedience? Through doing exactly what the king has told you to do? Through listening and leaning in and being obedient? Even giving a cup of cold water in his name is an advancement of the kingdom of God? A little act of service is an advancement of the kingdom of God. A kind word is the advancement of the kingdom of God. Everything you do in an opposite spirit to the spirit of this world, let me tell you, is advancing God's kingdom, because God's kingdom is upside down from the kingdom of your life. Lose it. You want to receive, then give. You want to find life, then lay it down, that you might find the goodness of God's kingdom. Now, as I said, and I want you to understand this, we get glimpses, we get foretastes, the kingdom's breaking in, the kingdom is not fully yet, it's a taste, but not the full reality. There are people that we've prayed for right here, that we've prayed and prayed and prayed for to be healed, and they were healed in heaven. That's where the fullness of their healing came. There are some that we've prayed for, and miraculously God made them well. It's not my job to judge the judge. It's my job to pray and anoint and obey God. To ask that the kingdom would break through. To ask that the kingdom would come in greater fullness and measure. If the kingdom was fully here, right now, fully here, you know what this would be called? Heaven. But there's a breaking into the kingdom that should rise up within us with expectancy and boldness in prayer. Amen? That we'd see more and more of that kingdom becoming reality right here. We have a foretaste. We have a glimpse of the goodness of the kingdom of God right now. It should cause us to pray and to believe and to give the kingdom opportunity to come in its fullness more and more. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. God has delivered you and I from a kingdom of darkness. He's conveyed us into a kingdom of the, I love this, of the Son of His love. Isn't that a beautiful term? We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. We can live free from guilt, shame, condemnation right now. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 1 says this, His knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, by which we've been given, has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can you see the pictures here in these scriptures of how you've been moved from one kingdom into a new kingdom? This was the reality of the old kingdom. Here's the reality of a new. And it is so much better. Sometimes, for whatever reason, we give into the lies of the enemy, and it's like we're living back over in this camp. We're allowing this camp to influence us when we've actually been placed in a new place in Christ, in a new reality under His love. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. You and I have exceedingly great and precious promises. You and I are partakers of the divine nature of God. You and I have escaped from the corruption of the world right now. We can be free in Jesus' name. Some of that future that we read about in heaven has visited the earth right now. So what's the priority of the kingdom? I told you we would talk about that. Why is this so important? Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it. When you see all that the kingdom of God is, there's no wonder that Jesus made it a priority to talk and teach about. In fact, He started His ministry by announcing the kingdom of God, because it touches every aspect of your life. You bring the sick, you bring the lame, you bring the blind, and bam, they're healed. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God brings with it all that you see Jesus bringing with Him in His earthly ministry. Matthew chapter 4, it says, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching. What did He preach? What was His message? The gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. What's His message? The kingdom of God's message throughout His whole earthly ministry is the proclamation of the kingdom of God breaking into this earth, because the enemy's kingdom is being defeated. And because Jesus is recapturing and reclaiming that which has been lost to sin through the fall of Adam and Eve. You see that? The kingdom breaking in. Now let me just tell you, this is such a priority for Jesus Himself, that not only did He preach that message through His whole earthly ministry, but when you think about it, and you think about those disciples coming to Him and saying, Lord, teach us kingdom, and He concludes the Lord's Prayer with the kingdom. Have you ever noticed that? Why? Because it's that important. Why? Because it's that great a priority. Why? Because it's a reality you and I have got to grasp onto. We've got to understand more fully. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the first petition found in the Lord's Prayer. What's the first thing you and I are to ask for? So you know how the Lord's Prayer opens up. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So there's praise. But the first petition is calling upon that Father that his will might be done on this earth. You know why? Because it's not. Have you looked around lately? How many of you think God's will is being done in a robust way on this earth? How many of you think we need to be praying that and practicing that more and more? You and I, we bring the kingdom. Wherever you are, the kingdom of God is present. It's a righteous reality that flows through you, through every act, through every word, through every sacrifice. We get to bring God's kingdom. We get to cry out for it, and then we get to live out the answer to that prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your future kingdom come on the earth right now. The power of the future age coming into the here and now. And then how's the Lord's Prayer in? Matthew 6:13. For this declares is the kingdom. Prayer, the kingdom of God is that important. Do it, God, in this situation. Do it, God, in these circumstances. Bring your kingdom. Let your will be done. Not only did he teach us in the Lord's Prayer and make it the first and the last, he ended his earthly ministry talking about, guess what? The kingdom of God. Acts chapter 1 verse 3 says he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. This is talking about after the resurrection, okay? Being seen by them during 40 days. Jesus has come back, right? He's died, he's resurrected, he's come back. What's he going to talk about? Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. His first message, kingdom of God. His last message, kingdom of God. The first request and petition in the Lord's Prayer, kingdom of God. The last, kingdom of God. How many of you think this might just be important? Since the gravity of this and the reason that we ought to be spending some time looking into this and saying, God, give me greater understanding as to what this kingdom means and how I function in it. What's it mean for my life? How do I live that out? So that's going to lead us to the last portion today, and that is seizing the kingdom. What in the world do you mean, Pastor Jeff, by seizing the kingdom of God? Let me just say, you and I need to have an aggressive attitude toward apprehending the kingdom of God. Scripture says it. I'm going to show it to you. You can't have a country club, cruise ship, entitled attitude toward the kingdom of God. Okay? You need to fight for the reality of God's kingdom in your life. You must seize it. Why? Let me tell you simply why. Because there's real opposition in this earth against the kingdom of God. The God of this world does not want the kingdom of God to come into this earth. There's a clash of kingdoms that is happening every day. C.S. Lewis said it this way, there's not one inch of territory on this earth that's not being contended for. And that would include your heart, your soul, your life, and every dimension of it. There's a battle at hand. Two kingdoms are battling it out. I've got good news. We win. But you're still in a battle. And if that concerns you, I'm sorry, but that's what the Bible teaches. You're in a battle. You're going to have to battle in prayer every day to receive those wonderful blessings of God, those great and precious promises. They don't just come automatically. There's the imperative and there's the indicative. There's those things that are true, and then there's those things you and I have to do to receive what God has for us. Why does Paul tell us to put on full armor of God? Because we're warriors in the midst of a battle that's happening right now. There's two kingdoms at war, and our kingdom wins, but there's a fight to be had. Let me put it this way. The enemy knows what is in the kingdom of God. So he tries his absolute best to keep you distracted from it, to keep you too busy to be thinking about it, to keep you too entertained so that you're not even concerned about it. You know what happens to so many of us who we've made a commitment to follow Christ, but quite honestly, we've allowed too much of the world in that we can't really even be happy in Jesus. There's that weird place that some of us get stuck, right? We got too much of Jesus to love the world too much, but we got too much of the world to love Jesus too much. And Jesus says really clearly, right? You can't love the things of this world and love me. There's a decision that has to be made along the way. You're in this world, you're not supposed to be of it. You're actually now of a different world, right? A different kingdom. How are you living that out? The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, is what Scripture says. Is that how you're living it out? Is trusting God, standing against the forces of hell that are pressing in against you every day? This is spiritual warfare, folks. At its finest, this is why we do spiritual warfare. This is why we put on the full armor of God. We've got to absolutely stop being passive. No more lazy boy Christians. Let's rise up in prayer and proclaim the kingdom of God. Take hold of the kingdom of God. Stand against the lies of the enemy. Get on the offensive. Luke chapter 16, or Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. I didn't read this one, did I? And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. But a lot of misunderstanding around this verse, right? It's one of those that, quite honestly, sometimes is troubling to us. It doesn't mean, when it says suffers violence, it doesn't mean we're mean, we're cruel, we're harsh, we're rude, we're hypocritical. No, no, no. The church has been a lot of those things. That's not what this verse was advocating. It's advocating that you can't be passive. You have to stand up in prayer and righteousness. You have to stand up in spiritual warfare and claim what is yours in Christ. Demons fight aggressively against the advancement of God's kingdom. Believers need to fight aggressively for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. I want you to see that. Pressing into it. What does pressing mean? It means seizing. It means crowding into. It means fighting aggressively against the enemy and against his attacks. Let me ask you, what's the enemy trying to keep us from? What are the good things just on the other side of that battle that if you stood up and you began to push in and press in, what are the good things that will be waiting for you? It's all the riches and blessings against it. No wonder Jesus said these words that we'll end here today. I want you to read this one with me, because maybe, just maybe, we're already getting to the place that you're beginning to see this a little clearer and understand the priority of it and understand why we must seize it. Would you read it with me? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Say it a little louder with me this time. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first, not second. This isn't an add-on. This isn't a peripheral thing. This isn't a second-tier thing. This is a primary thing. This is a first-tier, first-priority, urgent thing for you and I. Seek first the kingdom of God in everything you do, in everything you are. This will bring, by the way, deeper connection and greater fruitfulness in your life. So here's my prayer for us today. As we begin this series, as we dive into the kingdom of God, that we would become kingdom people, understanding it, prioritizing it, seizing it, birthing in us a confidence and an expectancy to see future kingdom power now. So here's going to be our little our little motto throughout our series and maybe beyond. Just the little shout together for the King and His kingdom. Would you say it with me? For the King and His kingdom. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise this morning? Would you stand with me? Everybody's standing. Lord, would you help us? We don't want to miss, Lord, even one bit of your kingdom in our lives. Lord, we want this truth to absolutely penetrate our hearts in Jesus' strong name, that we might live, Lord, with a confidence and an expectancy of the kingdom of God breaking in even now, in and through our lives as we pray, as we step out and serve, as we love, as we show compassion. God, may we be your kingdom citizens on this earth, bringing the kingdom of God to bear, preaching the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and seeing that good news confirmed by answer after answer after answer to prayer. God, I thank you for everyone here today. May your kingdom come and your will be done in each of our lives in greater and greater ways for your glory. In Jesus' strong name. And everybody said amen.